Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu, kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale kalapo kondwela leloeka sitikumbukila kweta chokela amai kuvutika mutima koma zoti tazisoa nimaona misozi masomwake ni mavuto abale ni mavuto. Kumwanako kuipirenji kuchitoko na mumufolo hamama inei njiziwanda zota nizi taeza talema na yumapempelo.
Good morning on this Easter Saturday from the great state of Texas. I want to welcome you to today's show on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. Saturday, March the 26th. And we are going to be talking about entrepreneurship. We love our country, Zambia, a Christian nation. And we are grateful to the Lord for the things that he has given us and what we do. We believe in the... Zambia is a Christian nation, basically. That's what I'm trying to say. And that is basically what is... what it is there. So welcome to the show as we are waiting to connect our guest, Mubitanawa, in Lusaka, Zambia here. And everybody, welcome. Welcome to the show. And I just want to, let me recognize everybody that's coming here. Dr. Kasonso, I believe this is Henry Sakala, Dr. Kalonge, Titus, Matilda, and everybody here, Mr. and everybody that has called in, please give us a few minutes as we try to connect our guest, Mubitanawa, here, and things are trying to work out. You know, Lusaka or Zambia always has these challenges when you are trying to do these things. So, if I may ask a question here, Sakala, welcome.
Mukwai, kanabeta.
You missed a very good discussion that we had, and I'd love to hear your input about. We were trying to recognize his good deeds and also recognize his pluses and his just the president of Zambia. Do you feel the president of Zambia is appreciated?
Is appreciated to those who have eyes, but to those who are blind, is not appreciated. And to those who have their own political ambition of thinking they're the only one who can do the best, they don't appreciate. Chabanga filia ba nasa ni mwamona. Bakwali bomu no biya jupo mkashano musu mwa wale fwaya. Uwe le tila chika mkienga wandi. Nombo mwini.
Okay, aha. Okay, we are going to be talking about entrepreneurship here. Thank you, Basakala, for that comment. Cletus, I want to ask you something to do with statistics here. I don't know if you are able to. I know I'm putting you on the spot here. As much as you can remember and whatever you can share with us, how have the SMEs done in Zambia? Are you able to, from a statistical point of view?
You mean small-scale businesses?
Yes, small-scale businesses. I don't know what information we have.
Compared to what? Because the programs were there in Zambia to try to promote as many small-scale businesses possible. I think they had that time, you know, it's a long time, they had CIDO, and I think it turned into a different body later on when I'd left Zambia. So there were a lot of things that government was trying, but their struggles were immense, and, you know, a lot of it is that they get choked by bigger businesses in Zambia. There wasn't a deliberate policy to deter big businesses trying to take out, you know, opportunities that are supposed to be for small businesses.
Hello, phone.
So the challenges were immense. So I don't know how you would quantify it in terms of their successes and failures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's a key
component there. Yeah, the key thing that you have said there is not protected
yet
from the big businesses. That's a very difficult one. It's and that has always been, I think, the issue, isn't it?
It has been the issue. You see, in America, like in New York City here, in New York City, you can't have Walmart in New York City. That's how they protect the smallholders.
Because they know
that. If you're selling tissue for $1 and Walmart is selling for 49 cents, you know, it's a no-brainer.
Okay. We'll let Movita address some of those things. Everybody else, our guest is here. It's really a great honor and a privilege for us to have Movita now join us. Movita is... I'll let him tell us what he's doing so that as a way of building on us. Womovita, happy Easter. Welcome to the show.
Happy Easter to you guys. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's been a while, my brother. Like you and I were chatting in the week, that it's been a while since we had you on.
It's been a long time, Brother Nathan, and I just want to thank you so much for your consistency as a team. And also want to thank the Zambian diaspora, wherever they are, especially those in the USA, for your passion and your connectivity to home. We bring you greetings from Lusaka, Zambia.
Excellent. Thank you. Movita, share with our listening audience the business ventures that you are involved in, you are operating, or you are engaged in, so that we just lay the groundwork here.
Thank you so much. First of all, fundamentally, you may recall that I've been back in Zambia for eight years now, since 2007. And when we returned to Zambia, we literally had $100 in our bank account and $30 on us because though I had a planned trip back home, the way things occurred were such that my return was accelerated and I had to literally jump ship and start to make things happen. So at that time, 8 years ago, what I did was I started my motivational speaking and consultancy firm. And from motivational speaking, as those opportunities began to grow and the name, the brand name became local. Because before that, I had a brand name in America. And yet there was a slight disconnect. And I was quite shocked. I was famous when I lived in America. But when I got home, it's almost like I had to start afresh, you know, and I remember, you know, I came with a lot of passion, a lot of this and that. I had to relearn certain things being back home. So obviously that grew. Then from there, I ventured into, I started a school from 2 years old to grade 7. That's Inspire Leadership School. And we started with six children, because you recall, as you may recall, in Dallas, Texas, I used to be educational coordinator at the Porter's House for Bishop King.
Yes.
So I felt that I needed to bring that experience that I had in Dallas, Texas, and bring it to Zambia. So the school grew, and the school has since grown from about 6 children. I think we are now pushing somewhere close to 600, and we probably about 80-something members of staff. So that was really successful and is still successful, and we just opened a branch in Mongu this year in January. So we're really excited about that. And then coupled with that, we then decided to start, you know, I love cars a lot, and 3.5 years ago I started a leasing company for giving people loans as motor vehicles, which did very well until we hit a snag. And I remember I had a motivational talk that day, and I had 44 vehicles in Dar es Salaam that I needed to pick up. And I gave people $250,000 cash to go and get my cars. And that is how we lost that money through their activities. So that crippled that business a lot, and it brought me a lot of challenges, legally, litigation, things like that, which we basically spent the last 3 years sorting those things out, paying fees. We literally paid for cars twice because I'd already bought those cars. They were in Dar es Salaam, and we had to refund those people. My own school lost 6 cars. My wife lost 2 cars. My sister lost 2 cars. It was quite a nasty thing. But that's something about entrepreneurship. Whenever you're an entrepreneur, you will expose yourself to risk. And risk cannot be avoided. Risk must be managed. And so we've managed to get out of that snag, and we are very excited about that. And obviously now I'm doing probably the most exciting thing I've ever done in my whole life, which is we have created a perfume line. I have designed a perfume, a fragrance, and which also had its own drama, as you may have seen some of the wonderful pictures, illustrious pictures along the way. And so that has also kept us very excited, and we are launching the perfumes and the deodorants on the 2nd of April. So generally speaking, those are some of the ventures that we are doing here, and they are keeping us very excited.
You see, you've done a good job to also talk about the pitfalls that you have faced and the failures or disastrous things, so to speak, Movita. Let me ask this question. I know you have alluded to it. You lived in Dallas, Texas, worked with great Bishop T.D. Jakes. How was that experience, and how did it shape your thinking and how you transitioned back home?
That's a brilliant question. I think when I worked for T.D. Jakes, for me it was like... I don't know. It was like a physics student working with Isaac Newton, or it was like a restaurant owner working with the McDonald's franchise. For me, working with Bishop Jakes pretty much validated who I already was. Some people ask me, they say, did Bishop Jakes make you who you are? And I say to them, no, he just confirmed and showed me how to be who I wanted to be. So one of the things I learned from Bishop Jakes, he's such a humble man, and he's such a meticulous man. I remember we were in Atlanta for MegaFest, and I think that was 2004, and I was one of the speakers at the first MegaFest in Atlanta. And we are on stage setting up. The company that Bishop had hired to set up at MegaFest had already done their work. And he comes in to check. This is like 6 hours prior to the official opening of MegaFest. And there was something not right on stage. And when he looked, you know, us who knew him, we knew something was not right. And when he looked, he just told them, this stage has to come down. And the people who were designing the stage were like, no, but we spent so much. He says, and that's my money you spent, and you haven't spent it right. Get it right. And within 4 hours, a new stage, according to the design that he had said, which they misinterpreted in the first place, was up. And the conference started later on, and it was all wonderful. But it was such lessons that teach you that greatness is not a word in the dictionary. Greatness is an attitude of heart, an attitude of excellence, an attitude of attention to detail, and it showed me that a wealthy man like him can still pay attention to little details. And one big lesson I saw from Bishop Jakes was when we buried his mother, when his died, and that was a very difficult time for him. And also how he handled personal pressure, whether it was his children, whether it was his just family things. And because I worked in security in the first 3 years of working for Bishop, it taught me a lot. It taught me how to handle pressure as a great person. So I think whatever I've gone through in Zambia, my successes and my trials and temptations and triumphs, I think I was prepared for this moment.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, Movita, let's get into the issues of entrepreneurship now. In your opinion, what is the most common misconception about entrepreneurship?
That's like asking someone eating chili to say, what's the most highest misconception about chili? And the misconception is that it's not hot. Chili is hot.
Yes.
Entrepreneurship is also hot. I think for a lot of people, they really think that entrepreneurship is an easy thing. And I've heard people say, for example, that they want to be an entrepreneur so that they can work for themselves, they can have time to sleep, they can have time to go on holiday anytime they want to. That is one of the biggest misconceptions. With entrepreneurship, if you don't work, you don't get paid, period. And if you are not there, standards can fall. So that's one of the great misconceptions. The other misconception, and this is on a positive note, a lot of people think you need money necessarily to be an entrepreneur. And I am a prime example that you can start something without money. You can use literally a gift, an opportunity, a networking chance, and you can start a great business. Even with $1,000, you can put it to a multi-million dollar business. And I think that's what bothers me about people. They don't believe in what they are capable of doing or doing as entrepreneurs. And so they are caught in a spirit of procrastination, or saying tomorrow, because I don't have enough. And yet all the great things people have started, including myself, we've literally started great things on nothing. And that is the greatest power of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is the potential in the seed, not necessarily the seed itself.
Wow. Well. Okay. Saying you've just sort of hit on a point that I'm going to ask you. You are saying that somebody doesn't necessarily need money. So where does one start from? Where does one start from without money in the Zambian scenario? Because for me,
in the Zambian scenario, how does one start a business without money? So
yes.
Let us just be real, all of us. The Bible is clear. Money answers all things under the earth. So you do need money, some kind of money. Okay, that's real. But how much is that money? Number one, let us say, for example, there are two people. There is one, a buyer, and there is a second one, a supplier. And these two people don't know each other. And you can link these people up and hook them up together at a commission that is already capital, that is literally free. You can literally put two people together and top up a margin of 5, 6, 7, 10%, 15%,
yes,
and make your money. That's already opportunity one. Opportunity number two is knowledge. That school you went to, that college you went to, is knowledge. You know, you are an accountant, that is capital. You are a marketer, that is capital. You are a fashion designer, that is capital. Whatever it is that you are, that is capital. And you can literally consult with people, give answers, and be charged for it. It is capital. Even giving some direction is capital. Can go and do this. And you may even be able to speak for them at a small fee. It is capital. And lastly, you can start something with borrowed money from family, from friends. You ask your uncle for a small loan of $1,000, $500, even $100. That is capital. You don't always have to go to the bank, because banks don't pay attention to people who have not succeeded yet. Banks only listen to successful people, and that is a fact.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So where does that put a Zambian entrepreneur, somebody hoping to step up and do entrepreneurship? Because the other concept is that here is something, another myth I want you to debunk, Movita. In the Zambian context, I could be wrong, somebody can correct me here, or even yourself. For us, when you are saying entrepreneurship, the first thing that comes to your mind is buying and selling. What's wrong with that scenario?
All right. Entrepreneurship, in my opinion, the definition of entrepreneurship is the identification of an opportunity and then maximizing that opportunity to meet people's needs. That's it. I can see an opportunity. I can jump on board, whether there are others doing it or there's no one doing it. I'm the first one to do it, and I can maximize that opportunity. Here is the scenario in Zambia. Often, people are used to the... Okay, let's just be honest. People in Zambia are scared. They are scared of losing money. They are scared of the opinion of other people. What will people say? They are scared of their titles. They are scared of losing their status quo. I mean, look at me, for example, Bernard. I was used to being the Mubira Nawa, until one of my businesses went down, and the good name, so-called good name, was now being dragged in legal charges and things. God had to humble the proud Mubira to bring out the greater Mubira. Do you know, at my lowest point in the 2 years, I was a truck driver, literally driving a truck from Botswana to the Congo, a 30-ton truck on my own, changing spare tire, lying down under the truck, sand in my ears, my everywhere, bathing underneath a truck, outside the truck. My brother, when you go through stuff like that, you realize that pride does not put food on the table. If many of us as Zambians can just say to ourselves, you know what, this is country, this is our nation. Let us forget about which university we went to, which college we went to, which one we didn't go to, and just get our hands dirty and work. Whether you are trading on a bus to Nakonde, on a bus to Durban or Cape Town or Kinshasa, or whether you are gardening, you are farming, you are raising dirty agri pigs in Chisamba, or whether you are a beautician getting burnt by bleach or whatever, you do it for your nation and for your children and posterity. A lot of us, we are worried about what people will say. But there in America, you know, they say sticks and stones may break your bones, but words don't kill.
Excellent. We're talking to Movita Nawa, motivational speaker and marketing consultant. Movita is a renowned household name, not only in Zambia, but in the Zambian community, and we're discussing entrepreneurship. Movita, before I allow my colleagues to ask their questions that they may have for you, and we talk about the perfume line that you have launched and the launch date coming up and other marketing aspects related to that, how can people outside Zambia buy your perfume and all those things, you will agree with me that generally and historically speaking, Zambians, we've been trained or brought up in such a way that get an education, find a job. Get an education, find a job. How have we done after 52 years of independence in your analysis?
I think we've done well up to the point of communication. Zambians have very good diction, good words. Mm. We've done well up to the point of keeping things normal. Whether that Nomo is right or not, that's a different conversation. We've done well. But as far as putting new borders, redefining our tomorrow, as far as taking a mindset of Dubai, for example, or of Mauritius, or even Seychelles, or Madagascar, or Korea, or even China, or even North Korea, that kind of, or America for that sense, that mindset of saying, look, we have a future to go to, let's create it done poorly. And so you find what we have are degree holders in engineering who have never constructed a bridge. We have degree diploma master's holders they have a doctorate in medicine. They've never written a book on medicinal practices that have improved or changed lives. We have scientists, chemists, who cannot conduct their own local DNA testing here. They have to send DNA samples to another country. We have economists who are failing to correct an economy. We have people with masters in business admin, but they don't run their own business. So we have, that's what our education system has done. It was enough for us to get directions, but it was never enough for us to define where we were going.
Amazing. Okay, those of you that have called in before, Vita tells us about the perfume line that he has done. If you have a question, I'm going to allow people here to ask questions. My friend Roger, you have a question for Muvita?
Yes, Brother Muvita, good hearing from you and what you have to share. My question comes from your experience, which you have just shared with us, tragic as it was, the loss you made. My question is, why do you think we don't measure equally the failures and success when we are planning for businesses? Because I think that is where we go wrong. Most of the planning is only rosy in our heads, nice things on, and when we hit the ground, it's all different ballgame there. The question is, why is it so difficult for us to measure these things equally?
Wow, Brother Roger, that's an amazing question. And you are literally bringing back emotions of nostalgia in my head, because when I looked at that $250,000 loss of mine, part of it was exactly what you are saying. I did not measure risk. I did not assess. It's almost like I was not thinking. And in retrospect, who gives an individual so much cash anyway? You understand? I mean, how wise or, how unwise are you? So it's almost like sometimes in business, we just hear, oh, there's oil this side. And you go and withdraw at the ATM, and you go and invest in an oil rig, and you don't even know how to drive an oil rig. You haven't done your planning. And I think part of, to answer Brother Roger's question, is there's usually a sense of desperation in the way we want to be rich so quickly that we overlook certain measurements. I've seen people even order spare parts for a car only to come and measure when they're fitting them and realize they are the wrong parts. Then they have to go again and order new parts. So I think there's an aspect of desperation, but there's also an aspect of what the Japanese call kaizen or self-improvement that is lacking in ourselves, where we should be able to say, if I made these mistakes 5 years ago, I should not go back there. There has to be a certain self-accountability that just says, look, this is what we did 5 years ago, and we did it so terribly. We mustn't do it again.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, Roger. Let's take some other questions from our other colleagues here. Let me go to Indiana. Kelvin? Is that Kelvin then? Okay, we'll stay in Canada.
Yes, Nathan, it's Kelvin.
Go ahead, Kelvin. Yes.
Good afternoon, Muvita. This is Kelvin in Indianapolis. How are you, my brother?
Good afternoon, Kelvin. How's Indianapolis?
It's great. I had the privilege of attending a wedding in Dallas. I don't know if you remember me. I was the most handsome guy there. You probably would.
I thought I was the most handsome guy there.
I was more handsome than the groom himself. So, okay, here's two questions for you. I know right now Zambia is opening up so many shopping malls. And my guess is the majority of those stores are being filled by foreign entities. What is the biggest challenge that local businesses are facing vis-a-vis owning a store at a shopping mall? That's the first question. Mm-hmm. My second question to you is, you being a man of God, what is, I can't find the right word for it. How are you accounting for doing business, making sure you make a profit at whatever cost, and keeping up with your, you know, biblical principles? Thanks.
Wow. I'll start with the last one because that's more, you know, nearer to home. As businesses grow, there are a lot of temptations that come along. For example, you want to make shortcuts, and also sometimes you don't even want to make shortcuts. People come with suggestions of shortcuts. And some of those shortcuts sound very attractive because you've probably been doing things the long way and the wrong way all these years. So one of the things I've done, and I think it has to do with my upbringing as Mubira Nawa, I just, you know, even when I was a child, I rarely got into trouble for being around the wrong people or, your son is here, did this. I rarely got into trouble. I'm very patient. That's number one. And number two, I don't get jealous when others, you know, like a few hours ago, I was meeting one of my young men. He was showing me his vehicle that he bought. It's nice vehicle. It's 3-4 years younger than my vehicle. Absolutely amazing. I was so happy for him, but there was no sense of jealousy in me, and that helps me in business. And lastly, I don't get intimidated. You can have more money than me, taller than me, shorter than me, whichever than me. It doesn't bother me because I just have this fundamental belief that the God who started a good work in me will complete it. So that keeps me very sober, and it's easy for me to stay rooted with God. And then I think I'm smart enough to know that I'm not that smart without God. So that keeps me very focused on God and making sure whatever I do brings honor and glory to God. Because also in Zambia, you know, the temptations on a social level are higher than in America. You know, so as you get more powerful in Zambia and you're more successful, you are tempted more. So you have to really be grounded. Then coming to the question of shopping malls, for sure, just another mall opened 2 days, 3 days ago, $26 million mall. I mean, it's the way to go now. But one of the challenges with these malls is the rentals are dollar-rated because these malls are financed in dollars. So you find, like, at the biggest shopping mall, a big-size shop is going probably at $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 kwacha per month, and yet in dollar terms it has not changed. It was maybe in the last a year and a half it was going for 20,000 kwacha. So it's, in terms of kwacha net income, your shop rentals have doubled, in some places tripled. So that is really throwing a lot of indigenous businesses out of touch with reality. In fact, I was at a mall yesterday, another mall. I was very shocked. One of the corner shops they have, one of their prime shops, is actually closed. I was very shocked. It's testament to the challenges people are facing now. Having said that, I think as an indigenous person, don't try to be at a shop where you're paying $10,000 a month.
Uh-huh.
You can use that $10,000 as your capital and look for a shop worth $1,000 a month or $500 a month, and make more in return versus being at a place where you only say, you only look fancy, but you won't make the money. So we need to be careful. And with the volatility of our economy right now, you don't need to blow all the whistles and bells. Just be at a good place, run a good business, invest in a good car, deliver things, be creative. It may work better than renting at a very, very expensive place.
Excellent. Thank you for those questions, Kelvin. Let's go to Florida. Matilda, please go ahead.
Thank you, Nathan. And now welcome to Zambia Blossoms Radio. I do have a comment
to
my question, and I hope I'm speaking to the right person. Now, I believe we were once members together in the Junior Chambers of Commerce in Lusaka, in Zambia, back in the 90s. I think you either belonged to the Maluba and I belonged to Saka or something like that. But anyway, my question to you today is, could you address entrepreneurship where there's duplication? You know, a Zambian person will have an idea to sell something. Another person sees that that person is successful, they duplicate it. Before you know it, everyone is doing the same thing. Secondly, can you also talk about these businesses in Zambia that are growing very quickly? They are similar to pyramid schemes, but not necessarily exactly pyramid schemes, but where you enroll someone, you teach them the business, the standards they're on. So if you could address those two, thank you.
Thank you, Matilda. I did not get the last part about the type of businesses. The line was not very clear. Let me answer first of all the duplication part of the business. Then if Matilda can come back and ask the latter part of that question. Generally speaking, the Word of God says there is nothing new under the sun. Everything has been done before. There's nothing new under the sun. So no one will ever say, I'm the first to do this. Like right now, people are saying to me, you are the first Zambian to have a perfume in Zambia. I never even like to hear those words because, you know, I might be the first in Zambia, but I could even be the last in the world. So it's not really, it's neither here nor there for me. What I want to do is how can we get this same business that has already been done in Paris, in America, and do it so well within the Zambian context so that we can empower more Zambians and we can employ more Zambians. And granted, there is no business that you will ever do that you will be the only one. Every business has been done, and you will be copied. Even when I started motivational speaking here in Zambia 8 years ago, sometimes I was the only one giving quotations. But now, you find I even lose businesses to some of the other motivators because they've underquoted. But it doesn't bother me. It's part of competition. What we need to do is not to worry about who's copying us, but we need to worry that we stay innovative, we stay relevant, and we stay dynamic. In fact, the more people who are copying you, the more you push yourself to new innovations and new dynamics.
That's good. So you want to repeat the second part of the other question?
The last part, yes. The last part, I did not hear it very clearly.
Okay. Matilda, Muvita didn't hear the last part of your question. If you're on speaker, probably you better want to switch.
No, I'm not on speaker. I'm actually driving, and you know my Bluetooth picks up every noise than louder than my
voice.
So that's what's going on. Okay, the question, I guess, let me try to refine the question. This is in reference to something you said earlier with people wanting to get thinking when they become an entrepreneur, they will no longer have to work. They will no longer have to do this. They have the freedom to do whatever they want. There are businesses that are quickly growing in Zambia where you recruit someone to they become your downline, and there's that promise to say you work for yourself, you don't have, you know, you control your own schedule, make your own money, and so on and so forth. So could you talk about that aspect, that type of business in Zambia? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Matilda. Thank you so much. Loud and clear. So Matilda is talking about multi-level marketing. These are marketing-based businesses where you recruit downlines and there's profit sharing and so on and so forth. And quite honestly, they are doing very well. And let me take the leverage to actually say, I have been part of such a business in the past, in the last 4 years. I think three or 4 years ago, I was part of a multi-level marketing business. And I truly learned a lot, truly loved it. And I think those businesses are very good. The challenge that I have with multi-level marketing, and it's the only challenge, is that sometimes the time it takes to grow can be long, and sometimes the benefits can be for one or two people. I tend to like a business where everybody is working and everybody is benefiting. And having said that, multi-level marketing is very good. It brings discipline, new focus, and it's doing well in Zambia. It's doing very well. Even for us in our perfume line, we are starting a multi-level section. But the way we are doing it, you don't have to be under anyone. You just come with your money, buy goods on order, go sell them. That's it. That's it. You don't have to be under anybody. I don't have to benefit from your work. No. You work, you earn. You work, you earn. That's it. That's the only thing that I think sometimes with multi-level marketing, you find 20, 40, 50 people are working, only one person goes to the Bahamas. And I think that is not very fair in my personal opinion.
Excellent. Okay, let's go to Canada. Musala, please go ahead with your comment and question.
Yes, thank you very much, Nathan. Good afternoon there, Mr. Nawa. Is it Movita?
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon.
Yes. First of all, I would like to commend you for emphasizing that having no money is not the issue, is not the reason why people shouldn't have a business. This is an area where I encounter pushback myself because I try to encourage people in Zambia, and I try to argue that certain things are not happening in Zambia because of lack of money. That's not the problem. Now, seeing that we are singing the same song and you are a motivational speaker, a coach going around the country, how much time do you spend in trying to let Zambians know that having no money is not really the problem?
Thank you so much. It is very interesting in Zambia, and I know many Zambians are listening to this show and will listen, but it's quite hard to communicate what you've just said in Zambia. It's almost like people have told themselves the formula to success is the one they know. And if you tell them any other formula, they just refuse. For example, you know my Facebook page, Movita Sinawa, is a very active page. If I put a post like what we are talking about now, you'll find maybe I'll have two or three comments, four, you know, a few comments. Now, if I put a post like, you are blessed, tomorrow morning you wake up rich, and you're successful, there'll be $1,000, there'll be $1 million in 2 months' time in your account, I will get over 1,000 comments. And for me, it worries me. It worries me that when I talk about real issues, real life-changing mindset transforming issues, it's almost like there's apathy. But when I talk about hula baloo issues that are just feel-good issues, in Zambia, people tend to like that. That's why you find if there's a major prophet in town, nothing against prophets, if there's a major prophet in town, the hotel room will be jam-packed. People are there receiving prophecy and whatnot, you know. But if I say, come to this life-changing entrepreneurship course, people will be like, no, we don't want to be there. But one thing I like, though, is there are some there, there's a new generation that is listening. There are people out there who are actually doing something with their knowledge, their wealth, and that is motivating for me.
Excellent. Thank you, Musala. Okay, very quickly, let's allow Dr. Kasonso. We have very little time left here. because I want Muvita to talk about his perfume brand and all those things. Lakason, so please go ahead.
Muvita, congratulations for the successful enterprise that you have been able to start in the Zambia. It's very gratifying for me that my tribal cousins have now started venturing into entrepreneurship without using witchcraft. So that's very impressive. Yeah. So the thing I wanted to just comment on has to do with the extent to which we find entrepreneurs and try to encourage them. That I'm a business expert in terms of academics, and I do a lot of research work in business administration, entrepreneurship successes. And one of the key theories that have assisted me to understand how this whole thing happened is that the process of economic development can be divided into stages of invention, innovation, which is also called commercialization, and imitations. It seems to me that in the way that you are doing the business is more centered on commercialization and encouraging imitation and not basing it on anything on invention and stuff like that. The thing that I worry about that approach is that entrepreneurship, the way you are doing it, you are probably one of the less than 10% that can do that type of business or entrepreneurship in that form. And empirical evidence also show us that the people who start something very small and it becomes very large are probably less than 3%. In your motivation speaking, are you encouraging people to undertake different things rather than start a small business, make it big? Because most of the small businesses just remain small for the rest of their lifespan. So what tools and techniques are you using to help, counsel, or advise people on managing transitions, keeping a small business steady, and, you know, not buying into the idea that every small business that the person starts will get into a large business, because that is not how business works, and that's what not happens in business. So what techniques and tools are you empowering your audience and your groups with the ability to understand the process of commercialization and the impact that imitations can have within your local market then?
All right. This is Dr. Kasson. So, and I didn't hear, which state are you calling from, Dr. Kasson?
Washington, D.C. I'm calling you from the District of Columbia.
Washington, D.C. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much. I like the stages of entrepreneurship that you outlined. And when you look at the Zambian economy, invention is very possible, and invention is also happening in Zambia. When we look at the history of China, for example, 30 years ago in China, they were at imitation. 30, 40 years ago in China, they were at imitation level, and then they transitioned from imitation. In fact, Chinese did it reverse. It's only in America where they did it from invention to commercialization, and imitation in America is very much governed and very much highly regulated that it can lead you into trouble. But when you look at the Chinese, they literally started with imitations, then they went to commercialization, and then it is only now, in the last 10, 15 years, that they are being invented. Part of the reason that is like that in growing is that invention is very costly. It must be funded generally by state, secondly by private funding, such as the Rockefeller Foundation, Melinda Gates Foundation, who are right now putting millions of dollars, for example, in malaria invention techniques, malaria control, HIV, and so on and so forth. But in Zambia, right now, for example, when I look at my perfume industry, I could have spent $5 million in my perfume industry if I was to do the invention way first, where you put up a manufacturing plant, so on and so forth. But where will I get $5 million right now? I cannot get anywhere. And without, you know, giving up my arm and the leg. So a part of the difficult with invention is it's high capital intensive. And so most of us are going into trade. Even the farming that we are doing is very subsistence, because to do commercial inventive kind of farming takes a few years. Having said that, a small economy of Zambia, which is 1% of California's economy, or even 1% of California's economy, even at imitation and commercialization levels of entrepreneurship, it is still good. Because if a small man like me can employ 70, 80 workers, another small person employs 20, 30, 40, 80 workers, we are already nipping on the heels of unemployment. We are already reducing inflation and so on and so forth. As we capitalize and become stronger and we begin to have the manners of the Bill Gates, the Richard Bransons, the Mike Bells, it will be very easy. People like Mark Cuban, he can put $30 million in a project because he's got billions. Oprah Winfrey can do that. A capital deficit economy like ours, it is very difficult, doctor, to do it at that level. Nevertheless, it's not impossible. It is a level we are moving to slowly.
Okay, good. Thanks, everybody, for your questions. As we wind up, Mvita, let's talk about your perfume line and brand. So how did you come up with this concept, and how is it going?
Well, the way we started, first of all, was just to see, can we continue to add to the GDP of this nation? Number two, how can we take our name further so that it becomes a commercial entity? And lastly, how can we add value to Africa in terms of rebranding Africa to bring pride and joy to Africa, to say that we can do our own things? So obviously the perfume is only one or two to a bigger picture of what we are trying to do, which will continue to unfold over 10, 12, 15 years. I think in 15 years' time, the full brand will come. And that's how we end up here, and it is doing very well. We are launching on the 2nd of April. We have brands all together. There are three brands, two for men, and so 6 total. So we are launching a perfume and a deodorant, and then in 60 days we're going to the Copper Belt. We will launch soap, launch aftershave, and we'll keep doing things like that. Maybe the next time you look at the presidential suit at one of the big hotels in Zambia, you'll be using our soaps and deodorant.
Excellent. Where is it being packaged, bottled, and all those things? How are those things going, and the marketing aspect of it? Have you already got deals with supermarkets?
And this is part of what I was addressing in answering Dr. Kasonso's question. That as you do these things, you discover that even to make a simple bottle in Zambia is very difficult. We literally have to outsource some of these things at the moment. So we are using about 3 nations altogether. We are looking at Dubai. Some things are coming from Dubai. Some things are coming from South Africa. And a little things here and there are coming from Zambia. This is initial stage. We believe in the next 6 to 18 months, half of what we are outsourcing, we will start getting it locally. We are talking to Capiri Glass Products. We want to design our own local bottle, perfume bottle. But to get the right density, the right this, that, and the other is still proving a little bit of a challenge. But we'll get there. In terms of our partners for distribution, we've spoken to all the major distributors, ShopRite, Pick and Pay, Spar. We're just waiting for the launch. Then we'll choose which person we're going to deal with. But right now, we're not going to wait for the brick and mortar shops to endorse, because we're already distributing online. Our T-shirts, for example, we've already sent some to the U.S., India, U.K., South Africa, Cape Town. So we already have an online presence, and we'll continue to boost that so that you can just do it in your home with a credit card and so on and so forth.
That's excellent, Mvita. You just mentioned something I was about to ask you. I mean, yeah, Mvita's Facebook page is Mvita Sinawa. Beautiful T-shirt. How, if one wants to get a hold of that T-shirt, Mvita, and any other of your products, what do they do?
Thank you so much. So right now, the way it's working, we're still doing it the old-fashioned way. You just inbox us. We give you the details. We are using Western Union for our international clients. Like if you want just one T-shirt, it's $15. And that includes the buying of it is $15. And then you add the $10 for sending, so $25. If you want two T-shirts, it's $40. You send via Western Union to Zambia, and we put it via DHL within 2, 3, 4, 5 days, you have your T-shirt. By next week, we'll have our website up and running. You'll do it online. So we'll continue to push the borders. Who knows? We can have our own Amazon.com from Zambia, but I don't know whether we'll call it Amazon.com or we'll call it Equator.com. But I think that's where we want to go, so that we can help the people in the diaspora tap into the things. Actually, Equator.com is not such a bad name.
That's a good tap one. There you go. You just launched a website,
yes.
Equator.com. Okay, Movita, somebody listening in Zambia and they want to attend your launch. Where is the launch, the time and the date?
The launch is at Hotel Intercontinental this coming Saturday, April 2nd, at 18 hours, poolside in the tent. It's red carpet, you dress to kill. We're just going to have a great time. It's 100 Kwacha VIP. The ordinary tickets are sold out. So we've only got VIP tickets, and we only have about 30 or 40 of those remaining. Otherwise, we believe we'll sell out by Wednesday or Thursday. So we thank God for that. They just have to call us. Our number is on our Facebook page, Movita Sinawa. Inbox us, and we'll give them their tickets.
Excellent. Well, Movita, it's always encouraging and inspirational to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you to the community in the diaspora. Thank you to everybody who called in. May the good Lord bless you. And remember, there is a reason you were born. Find that reason, because dying without knowing it is not worth dying.
Excellent. That was our show, everybody. Movita Sinawa. You can look at whatever they are doing and everything that they are involved in on their Facebook page. It's simply Movita Sinawa. You catch them there. Great Easter weekend, everybody. Hope you take time to reflect on what Movita is saying. Understand and find out why you were born. Next week, we'll try to talk to new FAZ president, Football Association of Zambia elected president, Mr. Andrew Kamanga, and find out what direction he is going to take Zambian soccer to. And that's what we are going to do. Roger, I don't know, Musaba, your final word here before we have a minute remaining?
Yes, please. I think my final word is just to mention that NASDAQ, where they put all the, the technology companies, almost all the technology companies there were started by individuals in their garages. He mentioned Mark Cuban, how he can put up a lot of money. He started his business very small. So I think it was Mr. Kasonso's comment, or is it Dr. Kasonso's comment, actually emphasized the point we are trying to make, that people are trying to say that it cannot be done with small money. It's not just about big money.
Excellent. Thank you, Musala, and everybody.
Mm-hmm. He has just told me that I should slow down. Look at other major other things before I launch my business. I'm one of those people who wants to throw in, test the water, see the bad thing happen first, and then make some corrections. Yeah, thank you so much for the discussion. Good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was everybody. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next weekend and have a great Easter weekend.
hakuna kama wewe, wewe pekee, wewe pekee, ni Bwana.